Listener discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Hey. Oh, it is Dr. Drew.
Here we are.
Dr. Drew is over there. He's back.
Wow.
We didn't know where he was last night, but that's all right. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Jay McGraw is our guest tonight. Jay is the author of Closing the Gap. It's a book about virginity.
Right, that's exactly right.
It's a strategy for bringing parents and teens together.
That was his previous book, Filling the Gap.
Right. Filling the Gap, yeah. I was just talking about a friend of mine, actually lots of friends of mine. Here's what I want to say. Jay, you're a young man.
Let me hear it.
How old are you, 22, 23?
22.
22 years old. Phil McGraw, the Oprah Phil, is Jay's father, by the way. And I think he came out here last time Jay came out here. But here's what our listeners should understand. And, Drew, wouldn't you say this is sort of the overall, if there's any message we could try to get across in the show, it is this. There's a period in your life that has to do with your friends and your family, and mostly your family and your upbringing and everything. And it's a very short, relatively small period. It feels big when you're in it. That's sort of age from about 3 or 4 to about 13 or 14. Feels like a forever. But when you stand back and look at an 85-year life, it's just a small small part
just
of it.
Just a little percentage of it. Yeah.
Small percentage. And depending on how that goes is depending how
the rest
depends
of it
the next 70 years of your life goes.
That's right.
And there's a small group of people who understand that.
Right.
And even if it got effed up, they go back and correct it. Even then, they walk with a limp.
Sure.
But they go about their life.
Yeah.
And then there's everyone else.
Which
and those people are a product of that, and that is the rest of their life.
That would be 99.99999% of this country.
Wait, did you say 6 nines or 7 nines?
Somewhere between.
Well, now that Closing the Gap out, it's back to 6 nines.
Oh, yes.
Right.
It's been Jay.
Yeah, that was his point.
Right.
Jay's plan for this book was to get it down to 99.9999.
Right.
Exactly.
And people don't understand that. And if any of you, you don't understand it either, a lot of people that are listening, but wait till you get to be our age, you get a little bit older, and you see the same friends doing the same things and blaming the same people over and over and over. And you don't go to school with them every day. You talk to them twice a year around the holidays or
just to catch up, make sure everything is still screwed up
and
like
you
it was.
Hear the same screwed up stories over and over again.
Oh, you're still smoking pot. Okay, good deal.
Yeah. Oh, you wish they would start smoking pot. It'd be a step up.
Yeah.
At least they'd have an excuse.
I do have some good news, though. California has joined the civilization. Women in California are now able to access emergency contraception without a prescription.
Yay.
As of January 1. And listen to what the release says. I just want to do a hand swing when I hear this. This contraceptive works by delaying ovulation and preventing fertilization, not by ending pregnancies.
Okay.
How many years have I been saying that?
It's like Dr. Drew's dream day.
This is.
Right. Do you think that message will be now abundantly clear to all the people that were against it?
Well,
all the pro-life whack jobs?
But first of all,
do you think they're going to embrace
I know, but at least we're here. We have the law on our side.
Right.
And I would like to offer myself up for anyone who would like EC. They can use me as the physician, referring physician. I would like to be nationwide the EC doctor.
Referring physician.
You know what? I really, seriously, would like to set something like that up.
Oh,
you know
go ahead. Go ahead.
Call my office. I'll approve EC. I don't care where you are.
What's EC?
Emergency.
Okay. Just want to straighten that out.
Hire an operator to deal with it.
All right there, Drew. Good. And I'm, like I said, I'm sure all the folks have done a 180 on
this. Yeah, but this could be it. This could be, you know what I mean? A few other I don't know what other states went down with this. This is the California Medical Association.
All right.
I think a lot will know about it, too. A lot of people will know that that's the case.
Well, now they will.
Well, let's talk just a little bit to Jay now. So, anyway, we're going off on tangents here, but this book basically covers what?
It basically covers what you were talking about. I mean, we do have, you know, 15, 18 years, whatever, of preparation to go out in the rest of our lives, and we're screwing it up, and parents are complaining, teenagers are complaining and saying, you know, what's the problem? I mean, if you think about it, when our parents were our age, like the racy songs were the Beatles, Can I Hold Your Hand or I Want to Hold Your Hand or whatever.
Right.
And now we've got media saying, you know, banging on the bathroom floor and what it feels like for a girl. There's a totally different world that we as young people are living in than did our parents. And we're wondering why there's a disconnect. We're wondering why we have nothing in common with our parents. And closing the gap is saying, okay, teenagers, here's how you can go and talk to your parents in a way that they don't look down on you. They don't always say no. And you have a relationship where you get the things that you need to mature, and you get to do the things that you want to along the way. And parents, it's the same thing. Here's how you can set up a relationship that's beneficial for both of you in the short term as well as the long run.
So this is for teens and parents.
That's right.
I'm amazed, by the way, at the amount of parents that are sort of okay with their kids hating their guts.
Right.
I would find that profoundly disturbing as a parent. I mean, I know a lot of these are disturbed people, but we talk to so many people who, you know, there's some 17-year-old, 18-year-old chick, and you say, what about your dad? And they say, he's an asshole.
Right.
And we say, when's the last time you talked to him? And they say, it's been four years.
Yeah, I can't remember.
And you say, where does he live? And they say, I don't know. And I think to myself, geez, you got a kid out there who is not only, your kid's not only just sort of Luke on you, your kid hates you. That doesn't bother you at all?
You know, something that I found with a lot of teenagers in talking to them in preparation for closing the gap, in response, one of the myths that I talk about in the book is, as a parent, you can't be your teenager's friend. So many parents think, I got to be boot camp here or else I'm going to lose them. I'm going to have no respect. And so they do one of two things. They either exercise no authority and they just go, you know, drinking with them, or they're so strict that their teenagers absolutely hate them. And you don't have to go to one of those extremes. You can be their friend when things are going well, but be their parent when it's not. I mean, we only got two parents in this world if we're lucky, and we got a bunch of friends at school. So don't ever think as a parent that you can't be our friend.
Or that you need more friends.
Yeah, that we need more friends. I mean, that you can't be our parent. We're not going to run off.
So speaking of hating parents, there's a call along those lines.
All right.
Steve? 16. Steve.
Yeah. What's up?
Nothing much. Just my dad being kind of an asshole.
There we go.
See, yeah, thanks. Appreciate it.
Those are for you. These are for you.
No, that book sounds pretty good.
It is real good.
I'm sorry. I touched something on the console, and Drew spoke about it in the microphone.
Yeah, they're having their own little deal over there.
That was my fault. Right. I distracted Drew. I shouldn't have made that move. It's like when a trainer goes into a cage. He has to be careful to walk slowly.
Well, you are, in fact, an animal, Adam.
Drew, were you really going to leave it at just those are for you?
No, I was going to get into it if you were going to let me.
Go ahead.
These are for you. These are cigars from Cuba. They are for you.
Thank you.
I have other things for you, too.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead, Steve. I'm sorry.
No, all right. Like, my dad will threaten to hit me, and, like, sometimes he does. He'll sock me in the chest or grab me and throw me down.
Have you ever reported that?
Have I what?
Ever reported that?
No.
You ever thought about it?
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why I'm calling, because, like, I mean, I'll admit, I am kind of spoiled.
What do you do to make him hit you in the...
Like, sometimes we'll get in arguments over, like, stupid stuff, like, just something little will blow up, and he'll blow it up into really something big. I mean, he'll go loose off of a broken channel changer and blame it on me.
Well, what do you mean you're spoiled when the guy's punching you?
No, like, I am kind of spoiled, and, I mean, they give me motorcycle bikes to race and stuff.
Hmm. Listen, I'd let my dad sock me once in a while if he got me a goddamn motorcycle.
Is he drinking when he does this?
He drinks 24/7 anyway.
Yeah, so this could be more about alcoholism than anything else. And by the way, there's nothing.
There's really never much in him when he does that. I mean, it can.
Oh, there's always.
Or he can be completely drunk.
Well, what's he do for a living?
He's a farmer.
Well, all right. Well,
I can't blame him for drinking that.
How about him sobering up? I mean, that seems like the angle.
Yeah, we've tried that.
It doesn't work?
No. I mean, no matter what.
Who's we?
He's got a beer in his hand.
Who's we?
Like, me and my mom have tried.
Yeah. Well, what is the... Wait a minute. The him stopping using alcohol has nothing to do with him, very little to do with him being sober. If you try to get him to stop drinking, but he not engage in some form of treatment, what you're going to have is a pissed off, irritable, depressed guy.
Yeah, true.
And what you need to do is get him treated so he learns other ways to manage those feelings other than the alcohol.
Yeah.
Just stopping drinking will not make him a lot better.
Hey, Steve?
Yeah?
Don't you think you could kick his ass, I mean, when he's, you know, drunk?
Well, no, I mean, like, sometimes he'll be drunk and sometimes he's sober. I mean, it, and he still acts the same
way.
Well,
pick one of the times where he's drunk and you kick his ass.
Are you bigger than he is?
No, not even close.
Oh, really?
That's I'm probably 120. He's 190.
Oh, that sucks.
Well, you're at least a smart guy for not trying to kick his ass.
All right, yeah. Steve, here's the deal.
Okay. I want to know whether I should report or not. Cause
absolutely. Yeah.
Now I pay for my own bikes.
Look, hang up and call right now. Not report him because he's buying you a motorcycle.
No,
protect him from the consequences of his disorder.
I pay for all my own stuff now. They don't pay for anything.
I know. So you won't lose anything by reporting.
They'll take all that away from me if I do anything. Or they'll put me in a foster home or something.
I'd hang up right now and call.
No. Just call Child Protective Services. Social Services, Department of Social Services, locally, where you are. Just discuss it with them and make a report.
And Drew, what happens? I mean, he's got two parents. If he reports one,
they're not likely to take him out of the home for a single episode, unless it was something horrible going on.
Oh, right. Plus he's 16. He should want to get the hell out of there. He's got a drunken farmer dad who's socking him in the chest. And that means it's just time to leave.
Yeah, he's 16 though.
Yeah, he's right. He's on the cusp. Yeah. But what I'm saying is he's
preparing.
Not,
begin preparing.
You're not going to put him with another family for the last 18 months, and then
that,
you
and also
go
though,
off somewhere.
You know, as you mentioned about at the opening of the show, the impact of having a drunken, physically abusive dad.
It's lifelong repercussions.
Screws with your head.
Oh. Yeah. Oh yeah, I don't. I wish my dad drank. I really do. Thank God I could kick my dad's pussy ass by the age of 11. Have you ever seen my dad?
Yeah, but he had his way with you. He just sat there and did nothing.
He did nothing. He stalled me out, but he is such a pussy, my dad.
Oh,
I could kick his ass. Stephen Hawking could kick my dad's ass. Beat his ass.
I think when my dad's 80 and walking on a cane, he can still kick my ass.
Yeah, your dad is a big guy.
Yeah, he's a giant.
What is he, 6'4"?
He's like 6'4", 250.
Jeez. Yeah, he's got that mustache. He's got that ass-kicking mustache.
And that bald head. That
he could bust you with it.
Jack with me, bucko.
He could charge you with it.
There's
nothing to grab onto if you get him in a headlock.
No, I've tried.
Slide off.
He's really the ultimate warrior, that Phil McGraw.
When he gets real mad, he rubs Vaseline on the top so he can slide, you know. It's like the old football trick.
We're going to get a little S on Phil here tonight.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a whole weird thing because I don't know if I mentioned, but my dad is such a colossal pussy.
You've never mentioned that.
I think he did mention that.
No, never.
Oh, I'm
shocked.
He is such a puss that I had zero fear of him from age, six and a half, seven on.
From about the time I developed the emotion of fear, I didn't have it for my dad.
Right. I mean, I could have kicked his ass when I had jammies with the feet in them. Could have stuffed one of my jammy feet up his ass.
Be fair. That was a couple weeks ago.
That's right.
Yeah,
I do walk around in those. The point is it would be weird having a big drunken dad floating around the house wondering if he was going to come in and beat your ass or not. That is kind of freaking out.
I think weird would work for that, yeah.
Yeah, weird bad.
Speaking of weird, I don't know if you guys saw on... I guess it was MTV the other night. This deal called furries. These people.
I heard about this. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That is some weird stuff right there.
Dude, what's a furry?
Sexually aroused with these like cartoon animals.
Yeah, they
basically
get dressed up like mascots. And
Oh no,
that's some weird stuff.
Well,
we heard about
moving.
Well, you gotta get something else going.
Moving right along.
But we had someone describe how they work in a place where these guys come and pay to dress up like ponies.
Mm-hmm.
And pull like little Cinderella carts.
Oh man, there's some weird cats out there.
Hey, I've said it before, I'll say it again. It takes all kinds. Here's what I'd like to bring back into the lexicon of American conversation. It takes all kinds.
Okay.
And to the tune of.
To the tune of.
Those are the two things
you're
I'm working
on. To the tune of, huh?
Right. Aaron.
Yeah.
You're 22.
Yeah. Hi.
Hi. Right, what's up?
Not a match. I'm sitting in my bed knitting.
You've been on hold to the tune of 33 minutes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice job, Adam.
Thanks.
Well, I was listening to the show because I'm in Manhattan, so.
So what's up?
I just had a question. I've been meaning to call, like, for a long time because I just, I don't know. I was just home for the holidays, and And my cousins now live next door to me. And when they were growing up, they didn't. They just moved in about 3 years ago. But there's three of them. Two of them are twins, and they're 14. And then their older sister's 16. And when I was younger, like, their father was just always the weird uncle, and, you know, the whole... His name is Tommy, the Uncle Ernie. His name, but anyway.
What did he do?
He wasn't really sexually abusive to my sister and my other girl cousin.
What did he do? We heard about 3.5 minutes on his name.
Right. Okay.
Just tell us what he actually did.
Well, he was always kind of, you know, saying things to my sister and I about, you know, I mean, he took a picture of himself naked once, and I've just heard weird
stories. Beautiful. And what did he do with that picture?
He showed it to my sister and was like, here, get rid of this.
And how old were you at the time? Or was she?
Oh, she was probably about maybe 14 or...
All right, so that's way out of bounds, right?
Yeah, and right. For me, like, I mean, it was just little things like, you know, rub my belly or do this when I was about...
Or do what?
Though.
Yeah, what's the or this?
Yeah, you're going to have to be more specific.
Come on.
Well, I don't even really remember. That's the thing.
Well, give us what's the worst thing?
Come on.
The worst thing for me personally?
Yes, you personally.
Sodomy.
I think it was just when he would say, like...
Incest?
No, I mean, I don't even know if that's... My biggest fear right now is that I don't think it happened to me or my sister, but I'm worried if it happened to my cousins.
How are they doing? They have problems?
No, but they're a little bit... I mean, when I look at them now and when I was their age, I was more... emotionally mature than they are now.
What makes you think that? What makes you think something's happening?
And be fair, this is their father we're talking about here.
Right.
You know, even if he's not overtly abusive, he's still a jerk.
Weirdo.
Yeah,
I mean, but the thing is now that I've noticed it, I was home for the holidays, and now that the girls are older, I don't think anything really happens now. But we have two young girls that just moved in across the street. And I see the way he, like, they'll come in that, you know, the family will come in the house and he'll grab one of the little girls and take them in the basement.
Whoa. And what do you want to ask?
And, well, the thing is if I address, I've addressed it to my mom and dad and they're like, no, you know, don't, it's no reason to say anything. And you know if you would say anything to the
Aaron,
neighbors.
Shut up. All right, now stay shut up for a second, please.
Okay.
How old are your cousins?
14, did you say?
14 and 16.
And this is whose, what relation to your parents is this guy? Is this someone's brother?
My mother's sister's husband. It's my mother's brother-in-law.
By marriage.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And are your parents relatively sane?
Oh, they're totally sane.
Were your mother's parents sane?
Yes.
And
how about the father particularly? Grandpa.
My mother's father?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He was... Great. I mean,
okay.
Is this guy still married to your mom's sister?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And they're total. I mean, it's an unhealthy relationship. They never talk on that whole thing.
Okay.
You know?
Do you think you can try? Forget about your dad because this is your mother's sister, right?
Right.
Try sitting down with your mom and having a serious conversation without accusations. Just have a conversation with your mom about this guy and tell her some of the things he did to you and your sister.
Well, that's the thing, I have. I mean, I've sat down with her before and said, and I'm, you know...
And she blow. And what does she say?
You know, well, you know what that would mean for the family. They live right next door to each other.
Oh, boy. So that's not a good response.
It was their relationship.
So she believes you. You told her everything that happened, and she believed it.
Oh, and her other sister knows it. They all know it.
Oh, nice.
So the only one that's in denial.
Hold on a second. No, it. What's it?
That he's weird.
I know, but...
They're worried about him. There's something wacky, something inappropriate about him.
But I'm not quite sure whether the mom knows or thinks he's doing some molesting and wants to kind of gloss over it, or just thinks that Aaron's just sort of running off at the mouth and she should calm down. And I don't get the idea that Aaron gets good reads off of people.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
She's kind of sugarcoats a few things as well.
She glosses.
Yeah.
She's moving so fast, I'm not sure if anything sticks.
Yeah.
Let me try one more time. Aaron?
Yeah.
So is your mom a sane person?
Yes.
And, I mean, is she a smart person?
Yes, she's very smart.
But why, if she really believed there was something going on, would she want to sort of sweep this under the carpet? Is it that she doesn't really believe something's happening?
No, I mean, I've tried to explain it to her.
No, up.
Shut up and answer the question.
Does she really perhaps not believe that there's anything to your allegations?
Perhaps.
Okay. And that's why she doesn't want to. She doesn't want to bring this all out in the face of it being probably, in her point of view, not something of consequence.
Did you tell her specifically what was going on, or did you say, I think, you know, Unc is a little weird over there?
Well, I mentioned, you know, we talked about it when we were younger, and even now, about how, you know, in the past, what things had happened, little things. And
You told him
about the nude picture?
Yeah. And
did you tell your mom about the picture?
Oh, yeah. She knows all about that.
And what was her reaction?
She thinks it's awful and gross, and everyone in her whole family knows it. Her, you know, and this is the thing, as I've been talking to her brother, who completely agrees with me, that it's, you know.
I find it hard to believe that an entire family of people agree with you that Uncle is molesting kids and nobody will do anything about it.
And if your brother or your uncle, the true uncle, really believes there's something going on, team up with the family members that are of like mind and let's go ahead and do something here.
Okay.
Whatever that is, you make up your mind. Yeah. Do something here. It's time.
I get the feeling when Stacy cranks it up, everyone sort of closes up shop. Do you know what I mean? Like, if your ears were like a storefront.
Or like a shark's eyelids.
No, I picture,
it's like the metal grays that go down at the mall.
I picture the person's head being like a store in Mexico around siesta time.
Big metal.
I picture rolling down the security bars over the ears, flipping the sign, do not disturb. And
TV gets a little louder.
TV gets a little louder. The people sink back a little deeper into their seat.
Oh, and it's another story time.
There's that deep exhale.
Well, it's kind of like when Adam talks, strangely enough.
Isn't that weird?
Yes. Yeah, this is the alternative. Could be hearing this.
All right, Jay McGraw is our guest. He's written a book called Closing the Gap. It's a strategy for bringing parents and teens together. And we will talk more about that to him and you and us and all that after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. System of a Down will be in here on Thursday night. Jay McGraw's in here tonight. Jay has written a book called Closing the Gap. It's a strategy for bringing parents and teens together. You may know his dad, Phil, Dr. Phil, from the Oprah show. How's Dr. Phil's show doing?
Starts in September, so.
Oh, jeez, I thought it was on.
No.
It's not on?
No.
I don't know. I don't watch
Oprah. It's going to be better than that.
Better than Oprah? Or
better than people not knowing when it's on.
Oh, okay. It seems like this Dr. Phil show,
talked about for a long time.
It's been around for a while. I would have assumed that it was out already.
No, it's going to be September 9th.
September 9th. Jesus, what month? Wait a minute. September 9th?
A few months away.
Yeah, after summer.
A few months away? It's a year away, Brian.
Right after August.
9 months?
So 9 months, yeah.
Right after August.
What is he saying? It's after August? Okay.
Hey, here's a question.
I just mean it seems like it's been some time. That's all right. What's the show? What's he going to do? Talk to people?
Probably. Yeah, I think so.
What time is it on?
Where? It's going to be on at either 3 or 4 o'clock. If Oprah's on at 4, it's going to be on at 3. If Oprah's on at 3, it's going to be on at 4.
It's going to like piggyback.
It's going to be on at 4 in Los Angeles, 3 in New York.
Right.
3 in Dallas.
Right. Is there pressure for you having a successful dad who's bigger than you are?
It's bigger than I am. No, not particularly.
No?
It works pretty good for me.
Does he put pressure on you?
No, he's good about it.
Would he mind if you were, you know, you just want to work at a bike shop or something?
Probably, yeah.
He would?
Yeah.
All right.
If I, like, wanted to sell Nikes or something.
What if you went gay? No, what if you went gay? You wouldn't go for that either.
I don't know. I have no intention of finding out.
You want to try? Oh, okay. Yeah. Just for a joke.
Adam's inviting you.
Yeah.
Hey, listen,
I don't know what you're into over there, but
we could have a pretty good life together. You write your books and me hanging out.
Right.
You want another cup of coffee, honey? All right. I'm going to be down at the model toys.
Oh,
I'm
going to
be down messing with the model airplanes.
I'm going to go play with some toys.
Keep riding, baby. You want a little Hummer while you're at the computer?
I've noticed Adam is really good at just hanging out.
Oh.
That's the kind of job I'm looking for, somewhere I get paid real well to just kind of hang out.
I would be the world's greatest wife. I would be so good. I'd take care of that
house.
Make my man nice breakfast every morning. You eat breakfast around noon, right? That's when I get up.
Oh, yeah, you said morning.
Yep. Drew bought me a nice gift. He brought me some Cuban cigars he stole from Fidel Castro when he was...
I had a license to bring them in.
Oh, you did?
There's such a thing. I never knew about
cigar license?
Yeah.
Wow, Andy got me some beautiful shave cream.
See if you like to use it.
I will use it. Thank you.
Try it.
Right now?
No, not right now. Okay. I really want you to try that.
Okay, thank you. Let's go back to the phones and speak to Stacy, who's 19. Stacy?
Hi.
Hey.
Are you all ready for the question?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Okay, well, when I'm having sex with my boyfriend, my vagina becomes sort of irritated.
Classic love line.
Mm-hmm.
And,
how long into the whole interaction does that take?
It does take a little, a while.
How long before it starts getting irritated?
Probably about 5-10 minutes.
Ten minutes is not uncommon for someone to start to get irritation. Is he using a condom?
Yes.
Yeah, especially with a condom.
Okay, but is it 10 minutes?
Or 5 minutes?
10 minutes?
You know, I'm not sitting there with a stopwatch. I really don't know.
It just seems like 10 minutes.
10 minutes, yeah, according to you or according to him?
Right. I mean, would it be 3 songs on the radio? Is what I'm saying.
I'm sorry. I would say more 10 minutes.
Come on, get your facts straight.
All right,
but
10 minutes.
It can be anywhere in between that.
Is that too long for you, you think? I mean, do you need it to be that long?
Well, I'm still enjoying it, I guess. I'm still continuing at that time. So it's not necessarily a bad thing until it starts to become a little irritated. I'm not sure if there's something that I can do or use to make that irritation go away.
Are you lubricating normally?
Are we lubricating?
Are you lubricating normally?
Yes.
You think what I'm thinking, Adam?
Yeah.
I want to get out of here?
Yeah.
So
there was
thinking,
that.
That
occurred to me.
Let's go to Cuba. Take over.
Hey,
start a coup.
Cuba.
Hey, Stacy. What Drew's saying is not are you using lubrication, but are you moist down there?
Yes, I got what he's saying.
You're doing that. That's mm-hmm. okay.
Yeah.
How about using? How about supplementing God's juices with some man-made stuff?
I haven't tried that before, but
it's probably a good idea.
That would be a good place to start.
Seems like the condom. Yeah.
Yeah.
Why don't you start there?
Okay.
Start with a little lubrication and a little KY or Astroglide or whatever.
Make sure it's you can't use the petroleum based stuff that dissolves the condom.
Oh, it does. Okay, thanks. And my friend has a question here.
Oh, nice.
What's her question?
Am I able to talk now?
Yeah.
All right. When I have sex with my boyfriend after a while, actually, well, like the first, couple thrusts or whatever, it feels like I'm almost having an episiotomy. Like, the bottom is ripped, it feels, each time.
Do you actually bleed or anything happen to you?
I don't believe I've bled.
Is there irritation?
How do you not know that? God.
Let me think. I didn't lose it. I didn't get a transfusion or anything.
Yeah, this heavy flowing now.
Stacy, do you feel irritated after the fact?
After a while, it's just, I had to stop eventually because it gets... Or I'm like, is it...
Well, you girls are just a house full of fun over there.
Why don't you two go lesbian?
Yeah. Here's your cure.
They weren't made for peanuts.
I maybe go with the lube. Why don't you borrow some of Stacy's lube?
Yeah, it's... Except, though, she's having pain at the beginning, and people with vaginismus and, muscular spasms that sometimes feel a tearing sensation, even though it's not.
Right.
I think doctors make up words sometimes, like vaginismus.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's just to make it seem highly dramatic.
Right. It's very technical.
I like molluscum contagiosus.
Is that nice?
Al?
Yes.
Al?
Yes, sir.
You're 35. What's up there, buddy?
Is this Adam?
That's right.
Oh, guys, I'm honored to be talking to you guys.
Thank you.
Oh, man. Anybody that calls Adam sir, I'm a little worried about.
See, Jay's only been a show twice.
I can relate to Adam in a lot of ways. I'm 35, and I've been through a lot of things like Adam with his parents. Anyways, my question is about my penis when I ejaculate.
All right.
Okay. Well, according to my wife and everything, I was like a regular Peter North. I could ejaculate in large quantity. Mm-hmm. I could ejaculate over my head. The fumes would be propelled out.
Over your head while you're laying down?
Yeah.
Okay.
So now,
don't stand behind me.
Yeah.
Well, now this happened a year ago, and from one day to the next, now the semen just basically dribbles out very small quantities.
Thank you so much.
And the orgasm.
I'm getting a great visual here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So and I went to go see my urologist, and he said that it's normal for my age, and I feel like something's really wrong.
Why do you have a urologist?
Excuse me?
Why do you have a urologist? You're pretty young to be getting into that.
Oh, no. Okay, this happened from one day to the next. I thought there was something wrong with me, so I went to see my regular physician.
You went to a urologist.
So they sent you to the urologist, then?
Right, I was referred to a urologist.
Are you on any medication?
No, sir, no.
Nothing?
Nothing at all. The only thing I could say, right before that incident, I had a swollen testicle.
Huh.
And the doctor couldn't figure out what caused it. He gave me an antiseptic because he said I had a urinary tract infection also, and antiseptic cleared everything up. But soon after that,
is there any irritation of the penis,
like
the shaft of the penis? No irritation along the
what?
Well,
no.
Here's the deal. This is what I'm thinking.
He had a bad line, so I put him on hold.
He probably had epididymitis, which is sort of an inflammation or infection of the top of the testy. And sometimes that can be associated with prostate infections, and occasionally the penis can become irritated, inflamed, and cause sort of a form of Peyronie's, where they get little areas of irritation on the shaft, and it can make difficulty with arousal and erection. Sometimes as simple as being on an anti-inflammatory and taking vitamin E.
I think he's using drugs.
That.
But what, now how does it, let me ask you this. Different guys have different abilities in terms of projecting their semen, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And different ranges. It's a strange thing.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem to be connected to any other part of the body. Meaning a bigger, stronger guy's semen wouldn't necessarily come out further.
Bigger and stronger.
Than a weaker man's, right?
Mm-hmm.
But eventually that's got to drop off as you get older. I mean, I haven't seen many guys in their 80s beating off, and I certainly don't have anything.
Thank God for that.
Except for
I said many.
The
right.
Guys that engage in that ventriloquism.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
He's making up words again.
But here's my point. What are you talking about, ventriloquism? Yeah. Drew must have heard that somewhere. In his
Come on, Drew.
Spitting
a joke.
Spitting it out. I know, but what does that mean? How does that mean, ventriloquism?
Ventriloquism, who can project their voice wherever they want.
Oh, ventriloquism.
Oh, gotcha.
Mr. Smart Guy.
That's fine, except for I didn't know how it pertained to the 80-year-old guys.
I see.
That's where the confusion was. If you'd said it earlier, yeah. But that's not bad. Not bad. Throwing your jism.
Yeah, right.
Ventriloquism.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Okay. Now, when you're 80, I'm guessing it's not coming out as far as it was when you were 15 or 17.
Right.
Right?
But they
go from like 10 feet to dribbling
thing,
in about a week.
It's usually not a sudden thing.
Right.
And it's usually not at 35.
Okay.
A couple years later.
Well, the point is, he has a urologist.
I'm a little dismayed that they didn't try some things and look into it a little more. They just sort of blew him off, like, yeah, no big deal. Because it's something.
Listen to him.
Yeah.
Well, you mean it's something that this is happening?
It means something, yeah. I think it deserves a real explanation.
Well, what is the muscle that propels the semen?
The pubococcygeal muscle. But it's not so much it's also the
plumbing.
The plumbing, yeah, the plumbing too. And the level of arousal and erection. There's a lot of stuff goes into it.
So might he seek a second opinion?
I think it's a great idea. Like I said, I think there might be a Peyronie's and an epididymitis and some other stuff.
Okay, so Al, seek a second opinion. I know you thought that's what you were doing tonight, but you were wrong.
Maybe 800 units.
Deadly wrong.
Takes 800 units of vitamin E in the meantime.
Seek a third opinion. The second opinion is
I should take vitamin E. That's harmless.
Right.
It might help.
Kenneth, you're 14?
Yeah.
You want to know if it's okay to masturbate in the pool?
Yeah, because of the chlorine stuff.
Okay, hold
who's
on.
Pool?
Yeah.
It's like a community pool.
Oh, nice. Good time.
Yes.
Good times.
Yeah, whip it out of the community pool. Good idea.
How much privacy do you have in the community pool?
No, it's like they're pretty secluded little pools.
Pretty secluded little pools. Oh, come on, man.
All right, let's
hang on.
Yes.
Hang on. This is why you got to stay out of those public pools, because it's either you get raped or worse. I'm putting this under the worst category. Jay McGraw is our guest tonight. He has written himself a book, Closing the Gap. It's a strategy to bringing parents and teens together. And we'll talk more with him and more with Kenneth and his pool procedure after this. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Jay McGraw is here tonight. He is a young author. Closing the Gap is the name of his latest book, A Strategy for Bringing Parents and Teens Together. Jay's dad, is Dr. Phil,
man,
right?
Huh?
Yeah, from Oprah, and going to have his own show in September, which I thought would be in its fifth season by September. But it's going to tell... Hey, you know, every time I see your dad, I just think of... Winchester from MASH. it becomes distracting for me.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You know, I think of the Hey Now guy, Hank Kingsley. From,
yes.
Hey Now.
Better. Yes, he's more of him
than
he is of Winchester. You're exactly right. Kenneth?
Yes.
Okay, so you claim to beat off in a public pool?
It's not, like, really public.
All right, let's not argue about
but
that.
But it's not in your backyard.
How many people swim in this pool per day, let's say?
Like, one person, maybe.
One person per day. Are they, like, ponds, or are they actually cement... gunite swimming pools.
No, they're actual pools.
All right.
How are there multiple? Like, come on, where are you going?
Well, I don't know. It's just like it feels like kind of cool.
It feels what?
All right. Here's the point of this show. The point of this show is we're human beings and we have non-humans calling this show. And non-humans speak in their own language.
Okay.
And we, as human beings, have difficulty glossing over a lot of the stuff that the people say. I beat off in a public pool.
But it's not public.
What kind of public pool is this? Well, it's not really a public pool. Well, whose pool is it? Well, it's not mine. Well, how many people go in there? Well, maybe
just
one.
Me.
And we're all so caught on that, and I'm caught on it just as much as you guys are, because now I gotta know.
I know.
Where is this pool? Is it at school? Is it at the Y? Is it at some park that's seldom used? It's not his own. It's not his neighbor's. Where is this magical
one-man pool?
One-man pool.
I think the county built it for him.
Now, this, unfortunately, because our callers, a lot of them are subhuman, as I've said, this does not seem peculiar to our callers at all, and they will keep moving forward.
I heard one of your calls last night where they actually invented a new unit of measurement.
Yes, the guy was 5'12".
5'12", nearly 6 feet.
Nearly 6.
I'm like...
Nice.
5'12".
That was last night. So,
because
we're all fixated, and I'll assume that our sober listeners are fixated on this, too. I got to know. So you guys just be
quiet. Let me get the answer. Let me first answer his question. Let's get that over with, and then we can get on with the information we want.
Okay.
First of all, it will not hurt him to masturbate in a pool.
It will not.
People have sex in a pool. Their penises survive.
Right.
I worry about everyone else and the other person that might use the pool the next day.
Yeah.
But the chlorine content will kill whatever's in there.
But come on.
You want to be the one in the pool next day?
I'm not encouraging this guy to...
No, wouldn't do it.
So, no.
But according to him,
it's only one guy who uses the pool, and he's probably beating off, too.
He's at six, yeah.
Kenneth?
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you a series of questions so we can try to determine where this pool is and what this pool is, okay? All right. Now stay with me. Is it somehow related to school?
No.
No. Is it involved with the municipal park system?
No.
No.
That was a funny question, Adam. How dare you?
Okay. I'm sorry.
You're a funny guy.
I'm sorry. You realize I have to explore every angle.
Hide the comedian.
Is it on your property?
Sort of. All right, I'll explain. It's like a community, and it's a homeowner's community, and there's like
pools. So it's like a condominium.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's a pool at your condo.
Yeah.
And there are multiple pools?
Yeah.
Are you talking about the jacuzzi?
They have a jacuzzi and a pool, but yeah.
And only one person uses the pool?
Hold on.
It's because there's nobody there when he's there.
Listen, Dillweed, are we talking about the jacuzzi?
No, pool.
Yes, I see. Okay, so if when next time Drew says, are we talking about a jacuzzi, don't say, there's a jacuzzi there.
And a pool.
This is how you play 20 questions. Is this some sort of singing? Is this a celebrity that might have... He has been on TV, but he does not have a TV show. Right, that's 19. Next, who's next? Jay? Jesus Christ. Oh, just beat off into a rag and then sniff it. That's my advice to you, you idiot.
Oh.
Carlos?
Yes.
Say you're beating off at the pool that's in your condo. Go ahead, Carlos. You're 17.
Well, first of all, I'd like to say you guys are great, both of you.
Thanks.
Now, my question was, my girlfriend called about a month ago, and she had wanted to know what she could do for a birth control, which one would be good, and she mentioned that I did research on the internet and found that it could cause breast cancer.
Oh, yes, I do remember this call.
Yeah, and then Drew said that the information was wrong and there's a million things on there, right?
No, what I said was that if she had very high probability of cancer, like all her sisters and her mother and her grandparents, yes, then definitely it'd be something to look into. But as a cause of breast cancer, that is something that is highly unlikely and certainly not been proven.
Oh, okay. Yes, yeah, she didn't mention that her family does have a cause of
all of her sisters and her mother and her grandmother.
Well, her mother, yes, and her grandmother. Not her sister. She doesn't have any sisters. And her mother.
How old were the mother and grandmother when they had it?
I don't recall her mother. Maybe 40, 35, but she passed away about 10 years ago.
All right, so it was a young woman. That's something that certainly is worth looking into. She ought to be already being screened for the cancer.
I think she is screened.
All right.
She said she was screened like every year when she was little, but I don't think she's done it for a good 2 years.
Well, when she's little, that's not relevant.
Here's an idea. Let's wait till it's relevant and quit doing it.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Carlos?
Yeah?
Her mother passed away of breast cancer.
Yeah.
And her grandmother passed away of breast cancer.
Yeah. On her mother's side, yeah.
And she was being screened for breast cancer when she was little?
A child?
Well, I don't think so. I'm not really sure.
No, she wasn't. Okay, let's be clear about it. She
wasn't.
But
I mean, I'm sure that she mentioned to me that, I mean, they were like trying to watch her for that.
Yeah.
Okay, so hormonal birth control would not be good for her?
Might not. It's a decision that should be made with her doctor. It's a special case. And in fact, there may need to be some more aggressive sort of interventions for her. I mean, for instance, people might use estrogen block and like tamoxifen. They might do mastectomies preemptively.
She was trying to get the injection, what's it called?
Depo-Provera?
I'm not sure. The one that's 3 months?
Depo-Provera.
Yeah, Depo. Okay.
Yeah.
And
Depo.
It's all pull. It's got to be pulling teeth. Even if you get it right, it's teeth pulling.
It was hard because it was since her parents don't know, and it's going to be like at a Planned Parenthood, so it's like kind of hard to hide it. I mean, it's kind of hard to get it through like doctors and get really good help, you know?
No. Why is it hard?
Well, because, I mean, would they be able to help us out at a Planned Parenthood?
At Planned Parenthood or her usual doctor, whoever's screening her for the breast cancer, she should be able to talk to completely confidentially.
I know, but the thing is, it's hard for her because it's like her parents keep her like on like really locked down.
Then why doesn't she call that doctor and talk to him or her?
I mean, I don't know.
Just call him on the phone and say, how would it feel? Are you okay with me going to Planned Parenthood and getting the shot? Is that a smart thing for me to do, or is that going to interfere with this screening process we're involved with? Okay?
Okay. Well, if she doesn't do that, would...
Just do that.
That's the thing. I don't think she can. I mean, it's really, really locked.
She can't use a telephone?
Huh? I mean, I don't even get to talk
if she
telephone.
Can't, hey, whoa,
okay,
whoa.
Well, hold
if
she on. Can't How are you helping her if you can't even talk to her?
If she can't even call a doctor, you don't need birth control.
Huh?
Yeah. Well, how do you hump her?
Well, like during...
Recess?
Something like that.
Well, then there's also phones around during
then
recess.
Skip a day. Skip a day and call the doctor.
Okay.
Seriously.
She needs to, it's a decision she needs to make with her doctor. It probably is fine.
Well, listen,
I wouldn't say just run the Planned Parenthood and do it in a special situation like that.
Okay. Maybe you guys shouldn't be getting on if you know, getting it on if she's having that much difficulty breaking away from her family.
But you know, some of the parents are like that.
Yeah.
She's looking for anything to do.
Alex?
Hey.
You're 14?
Yeah.
You tried your dad's Viagra 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Now you can't
get
an erection?
I just want to see what it's like.
What'd you do, take one pill?
Yeah.
And
what was it like?
I got this, like, huge boner, you know?
Yeah.
And then like, I can't get an erection anymore. It's been, like, 2 weeks like this.
What'd you do with that boner of yours?
It jacked off.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Oh, no, what do you mean a huge boner? What does that mean?
It's a good boner.
No, what does that mean?
You know, you get one, and, like, it was just, like, really bulging, you know, kind of bulging out there, you know? Sometimes you don't get that. Yeah. It's kind of just
small. That's
smaller.
A damn lie, and you know it! Drew doesn't buy it.
How long did it last?
Like an hour.
What color is the pill?
Color is the pill beige.
No.
That's a damn lie, and you know it!
Sorry. No.
Typically blue.
Sorry, buddy.
Crap.
There's a good angle that beige, but you know, if you really think about pills, beige. They don't do beige. They no. do white, and
well,
then
no,
they go into
beige.
Colors.
Xanax yeah. is beige, but that's about the only one I know.
Really?
And blood pressure pills are beige.
All right.
But be that as it may, the Viagra is known for being blue. That and the fact that people, when they have a Viagra experience, they don't talk about this. They talk about how long it lasts.
No, he meant a good boner.
But it won't go away when you jack off. And okay. He talked about jacking off, so that's what I did with it, and that was the end of it. No.
Drew, don't hold on a second. Don't give yourself credit for that. I busted this punk with the color of the pill question. How dare
that's
you?
Didn't I prompt you to go
it.
After him a little bit?
Yes, you were suspicious. I'll give you that. Okay. Well, Jay McGraw's here. We'll take a little break. We'll be right back. More penis talk. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Jay McGraw is our guest tonight. Jay's the author of Closing the Gap, a strategy for bringing parents and teens together. This is a must read.
That's right. For every teen and their parents.
That's right. And even folks that aren't teens and
or can't read.
Have kids or can't read.
It's a must look at.
That's right. It's a must flip. Jay's father, of course, is Phil, who you know as Hank from
Hey Now.
The Larry Sanders Show. No, from the famous Oprah Show, and we'll be doing his own show in September. And if you got some problems with your old lady, you call that show up, Dr. Phil.
That's right.
Okay. Jay's, anyone talk to you about doing a TV show?
I've talked to a few people about that.
How's that going?
I've talked to a few people about that.
Finishing law school.
Yeah, I'm in law school now. Fun.
Oh, man.
I got to start back on Thursday. What a nightmare.
That's got to suck.
I get to go do all that. Well, whatever.
Can you be one of these good lawyers?
Yeah.
You know, because I just realized people, I think the lawyers get a lot of crap for ruining this country.
Right.
It's just definitely happening, but it's also the fault of the system and the folks that are bringing the lawsuits.
Yes. Oh, right. Yes.
I went to a juice place the other day, ordered a bunch of juice, was out on the road. I was driving out of town, and I had to take a wicked leak, and I just got done ordering $20 worth of celery juice from this chick. And like I said, I was out in the middle of nowhere, and I was halfway to where I was going, and I said, can I step back there and take a leak? And she said, they probably trained him not to say this, but the chick was 17 and wasn't thinking too good, and she goes, no, because you could slip. And I realized somebody gave her serious talking to about we are insured for staff
only
going back there, right. And customers cannot go back and take a leak because they could slip and then they could sue and then we could be closed down. And so here's the situation. People look at this stuff, and I know it sounds cliche when I say how everything affects you, but here's how it affects you. You can't take a leak at a place anymore. You can go into a business, you can patronize the business, you can spend a bunch of money, but you cannot take a leak there, and now you're walking around the mall like a retard looking for a place to take a leak.
Well, that's what you get for going to the mall. Wait, can I go off on something now along
yes,
the same lines?
Because
random searches. Random searches.
At the airport. It happened to me on the way here.
It happens to me every time I walk through. So as usual, I walk through. Except this time, I had the added delight of
the servicemen with the machine guns,
yeah,
walking up to me and asking me for an autograph.
Oh, yes. Wow.
As the guy does the search, and then adds for three more bag searches to follow that.
Right.
Oh, while in the meantime, I'm shooting the breeze with the actual Marines.
Yeah, with the Marines. This country has a rich history in C-list celebrities blowing up airplanes.
That's right.
Took him to take my shoes off, put them through the belt. Oh, yes.
Yeah, nice. No, my girlfriend had to take off her boots.
It was nice.
Okay.
Nice. Checking them out.
Were the Marines
up in there?
Asking for your autograph?
There weren't any Marines. I don't have any Marines in Dallas. Uh-huh. We got the shaft on the Marines.
What do you got over there?
We got no machine guns in our airport. I didn't see one machine gun.
They were there.
I'm all like, you know, walking through the airport. I'm like, let me see some machine guns.
Listen, everybody. This political correctness, it drives me insane. I mean, listen, here is the deal. We should be looking for the number one causer of any problem, and that's who we should be pulling over. I mean, I'm at the airport. I'm seeing some chick looks like Sandy Duncan, this postmenopausal white chick with red hair.
Peter Pan.
You know, she has the bangs, and she's white as a ghost. She has those bad big mom glasses on. She can barely lift her arms.
Oh,
she's
I
so
know.
Weak, you know. And this guy's patting her down. Here's what I'm saying. Until one of those old white bitches blows up a plane, she's on. I mean, look. What are we doing? Here's all I'm saying. Here's all I want to know. Here's the question I want to answer. What is the objective?
Yes.
What are we attempting to
do? To be random.
No, yes. I don't want random.
I don't want any planes blown up.
I don't, no. Yes. The objective is not to be random. It's to stop people from blowing up planes.
There you go. They're frisking me and Dr. Drew, and some guy in fatigues comes waltzing on the airplane, you know?
I got the same guy hitting me up. He's wanting a picture, and he's going through my bag as he's discussing this with me.
Oh,
and
no.
I don't want that. Here's what I don't think. I don't think anybody wants that except for terrorists. I don't think Arabs want that. Do you know what I mean?
Not if they're flying.
Not if anyone who's flying should not want that. And it's how this sort of political correctness will ultimately cost us lives in this country. And listen, I agree it is discrimination when you decide that a certain group is doing something and stop that group. But it is not discrimination when only that group causes a certain crime and you take a closer look at that group. Because everyone asks yourself, why are we taking a closer look at Arab males between 18 and 40 who are going through airports?
They were doing that in Dallas. Like, everybody was walking right on the airplane. They had a table set up next to the gate. And they had all the Arabs,
Oh,
No. I asked.
Oh, really?
Everybody of Arab descent had their bags searched.
Good. That's fine.
That's fine.
That's Dallas.
Oh, kiss.
Hey. No, Dallas is great. It's like,
that's right.
Kennedy gets shot. It's like, good.
Good.
Look, I have no difficulty with that concept at all. And you know what? If people go, yeah, well, you're a white male, so you don't care. Well, listen, as a white male, I'm fine with all the Asian females not even having to walk through the metal detector. I'm fine with all. Until an Asian female causes a crime, I'm fine with them just getting onto the plane, just walking straight. Not they get to walk around. There's a line that says Asian females. There's an arrow. Go on by, honey.
Like a turnstile.
Mama San, get right on that plane. Until one of you steals a pack of Wrigley's. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think we all would be.
I'm uncomfortable with the table for Arab Americans. You haven't seen it though? I've been at that table every time I get on a plane.
Well, but you're not an Arab American.
It doesn't say table for Arabs, does it?
No, yes. One of my friends, Arab American, she's over there getting her bag searched.
But it's only for every single
100% of the Arabs go over there, and 100% of the non-Arabs walk right on the airplane.
How do they tell who's Arab and who's not, too?
I don't know.
Well, anyone who has that complexion,
no, I must look
just pull over.
I'm at that table every plane.
All right.
And by people who are like
wanting autographs.
Yes.
Okay.
Let's save the baby.
All right. Let's save them babies. Okay. Nathan.
Yeah.
You're 23.
I am.
What's
all
that?
Right. How you doing?
Good.
Good.
I don't have wet dreams. Like, they happen every once in a while, like maybe once every 2 months or so.
Well, you're 23.
Yeah.
You usually get over that around 14.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Sweet. I used to be sexually active like a couple years ago. It's about the last time I've had sex.
Yeah.
And then I find myself waking up just as I'm about to climax, I guess you could say. And I find myself like holding off, like, no, don't. And it's only like seldom that it does happen.
You're holding out because you don't want to lose your chi?
I don't know.
Do you actually audibly say no, don't out loud?
No.
Oh, that's too bad.
Oh,
that'd be
man,
funny.
That would have been great.
Yeah, that would be.
All right. Like, so what?
Sleep as I'm waking up. It's like, and then it's.
All right. So what? You haven't gotten laid in a long time, and you're horny when you go to bed.
Wouldn't that be all the more reason for it to happen, though?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you're getting pretty close.
What are you holding off on?
It's not like I'm holding off. It's like mid, like as I'm waking up, and then as soon as I come, you know, like wake up and realize what's going on,
he stops.
It's just that's it.
Is he not masturbating?
Nope, I don't.
See.
Yeah, why don't you?
probably religious things.
Uh-oh. What do you got going?
there's one thing I was thinking of a while ago, about a year and a half, 2 years ago. I went on a six-week cycle of anabolic steroids.
Oof.
And then they have the, I don't remember like specific names, but the one type that kind of reenacts that part of the body, so to speak.
Well, when you were on the androgenic hormone, I'm sure you had lots of wet dreams. Right?
Actually, no, I didn't.
You weren't masturbating then? Or you were having sex then, though?
I think I did, like, once or twice then.
Hey, Nathan, what about religion and, you know, your body's a temple and all that stuff?
Right.
And taking a bunch of steroids.
Yeah. Something ain't jiving here.
They what?
Those were the bad days. None of us are perfect.
All right. Well, Jesus is perfect, right?
He was.
Hey, Nathan?
Yeah.
All right, drop the religious stuff. Start beating off and see if you can get laid, would you? What's up with the women? Why aren't you? Are you dating?
Not right now. I'm not, actually.
How come?
Yeah.
Just in between relationships.
Well, how long is that time to date, right?
What's that?
Isn't that time people date is in between relationships?
Good point.
Well, I don't know if you meant, like, exclusively dating somebody.
Are you going out with people?
No, not really.
So either way, the answer is no.
Either way, no.
All right. Well, what's up?
How long has it been? How long has it been since you've, like, been
years
with a female? A
couple of years.
Not very long. Like,
what's not very long? Come on.
8 months, maybe 7 months.
Ooh.
Dude, okay, that's long.
A long time, comparatively speaking, yeah.
Well, listen, it's long when you're in med school and law school and everything. It's not long when you're Nate the Geek from Connecticut. What are you doing with your life, Nathan?
Just trying to figure that out.
Okay. Well,
somebody go out with Nate.
Look, Nate, please don't get buried in this religion.
Right.
Okay? You understand?
Yeah, I'm picking up what you're putting down.
It just becomes some weird compensation, okay?
Yeah.
You can create your own laws to live by.
So do you think maybe, like, the whole problem is just, like a mental thing, or is it just, like, something's...
I don't see what the problem is. Here's the situation as I understand it.
Okay.
Nathan is not masturbating, and he's not having sex, so he has some energy and some fluid built up in
him.
So he goes to bed and naturally has an erotic dream, and he becomes aroused, and he gets very excited, but he's probably not such a heavy sleeper that he doesn't wake up before the action, much like wetting your bed.
Right.
There are times, you know, a lot of us wake up in the middle of the night to urinate, but we don't wet ourselves, except for me,
right.
on more times than I like to admit.
But that's another story.
That's a whole other story. You know, the point is your body doesn't really like to do stuff while you're asleep,
right.
Whether it be number two, number one, or what is that, three?
I go with four.
You go four?
Oh.
What's three then?
I don't know. We skipped that one.
All right, so semen is number four?
Yeah.
You got to give it a jump.
The point is your body will wake up before it does things oftentimes, and that's what's going on with him. Now, you want to get rid of this? Start beating off before you go to bed.
There you go.
Or you want to see it through and take a Quaalude and down it with like a fifth and knock yourself out. You'll jizz all over yourself.
You'll just miss it.
Yeah, but prop yourself up because we don't want you to drown before you wake
up. But he's concerned, though, that maybe because of the steroids, there's not enough stuff coming out of him. You see what he's saying?
No, I didn't get that part about it.
You're sort of going down that path. What's wrong with me? I don't masturbate.
I don't get enough stuff. Nathan?
No stuff.
Yeah. Was that one of your concerns, that not enough stuff was coming out?
No. Like, the concern I had was I was told when I bought the cycle, like there was the type that I was using, and then they said near the end of the cycle, take this stuff with it, and that'll help. Because I guess when you're taking the steroid, your body like sort of shuts down because it notices you have a lot of that.
All right, he said nothing. He said zero.
He's sort of going down that things are shut down route.
But
maybe
they're not.
Maybe I shut myself down kind of thing.
Okay. No idea. Winston? Oh, thank God I don't care.
Yep.
I just, you know what? I leave the studio, the door shuts, I start thinking about cars, and that's
model airplanes.
And model airplanes. Yeah. I just drive home smiling and laughing.
And masturbating.
No, I am masturbating.
Yeah. He doesn't think about it. He just
no,
does.
I'm doing it. Winston?
Yep.
So what's up?
I'm thinking about cars.
Talk fast, Winston. I got to take a leak.
I do, too.
My question is, I've got asthma, and with asthma, a lot of times you get eczema, and I've had it
deep
all my
breath,
life. But
deep breath, Winston.
I can hear it.
What?
Nothing. Are you having an asthma attack right now?
No. I'm just nervous. Right. But
okay.
So I get it a lot of times on my penis. And
the eczema.
Of, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of awkward, and and having to explain it to a girlfriend that it's
Wait.
Normal and it's not any kind of STD or
right. What's
hang on, Drew? What is this?
It's allergic reaction. He's got what's called atopy, so he has sinus, asthma, and eczema. Right.
What's eczema though?
And it's an inflammatory reaction of the skin. It looked like a red patch, basically.
I can understand the difficulty in explaining that one.
Yeah, and
Drew,
just,
why the asthma and the eczema connection?
The three is just all allergy, allergic skin reaction.
Oh, okay.
He's highly allergic.
Okay.
And you just need to, why don't you use a bunch of the steroid creams on the penis?
Oh, I do actually, and it doesn't. I mean, it works, but it's something I just have to do every day, and
right.
It just comes back immediately afterwards.
Right.
And you have a girlfriend?
No. I have before, yeah.
All right. But they'll understand that you have a condition. They're not going to think it's herpes.
And, well, they might, though. Yeah. And
well, they might, but not when they see what a mess you are, I mean, they'll understand.
You say, here it is on my chest,
yeah.
Here it is on my...
Yeah, you show them the state of Texas on your back in bright red, and they'll understand that this is a condition, plus you're sucking off an inhaler. I mean... They should feel sorry for you and give you oral at that point. All right, buddy. There's nothing you can do more than the steroid cream, Drew? Sun is good for eczema, but I don't know if you want to get how you do that.
Yeah, it's good for psoriasis.
Oh, psoriasis. Yeah. Sorry.
What is
wrong?
No, it's all right.
All right. All right, buddy. Hey, I'm sorry
you were cursed.
I would look at this as a curse.
I agree with you on that, Adam.
It's not that big. It's just eczema.
All right, but it's just eczema.
Yeah.
Why on the penis?
Because there's skin on the penis. And
but
everywhere else, too.
Do you get it everywhere else, Winston?
No.
Just on the penis?
No, I get it on my nipples, my armpits, too, sometimes.
Yeah, a little yeasty on the peckaroo. Really?
Yeah.
Nipples.
Well, is there anything your penis is touching? Are you allergic to latex? Do you wear a condom?
No. I don't know.
You don't wear a condom?
Well, I mean, I do, but it's been a while. Okay.
And you still get it on the penis.
Well,
could it be something like underwear or the cotton or the detergent maybe? I mean, you really got to search for whatever your penis is touching.
Go commando for a while, see if that works.
Yeah, that might be affecting your skin. What?
No, I mean, I was just thinking of this. It's allergic, the eczema is allergic reaction.
Basically, yeah.
To something that it came in contact with?
Possibly.
Or something that he's eating maybe?
No. Possibly.
But he has the breakouts all the time.
Yeah.
And it's in the same area.
Know.
It doesn't seem like it's something environmental. Because if it was the sheets or his underpants or something, it just seemed like his legs would get it or his ass would get it.
Yeah.
Just seems... All right. I don't know.
I mean, it's a highly immunologically active person, allergic person. And so, you know... It could be all kinds of things.
Don't they say your body chemistry changes every 7 years or so?
They get better as they get older oftentimes.
They do?
Yeah.
Okay.
What a ripoff.
Let's talk to James, who's 20. James?
Yes?
Your father left 19 years ago.
Which would be when you were one?
Like 6 months or something like that.
And you want to find the guy?
Well, I'm debating if I should or not because, like, my mom and my whole family says I shouldn't.
Why do they say that?
Basically, my mom's... Well, way back then, my dad pulled a gun on my mom.
Okay. What side of it was he holding?
What's that?
I see. And he's a bad guy who abandoned you.
Oh, yeah. My mom's really the only one that really knows him. My whole other family's only met him, like, a couple times, I guess.
Why do you want to find him?
Well, I just want to know that side of my family. Plus,
why?
Mom says...
That's not an answer.
Yeah, why?
Because I just want to know him. Why?
Well, also, I know I have brothers from him.
So find them. Why do you want to find your father?
Well, I can't find... I don't know how to do it.
No, why do you want to find your father?
Well, he doesn't know how to do it. Hey, James?
Oh, that's right. He's got brothers.
James, here's our reaction, because we do hear this a lot. And okay. and it's very sad. And I was something that I was thinking about and talking about earlier today. I have friends who are in this situation, too, which is we get this all the time on this show. One parent basically cuts out and abandons their kid, and they leave them to fend. Here's the part I like. I like when the guy says, your mom is a crazy bitch, and I could not hang with that crazy psycho bitch. So, I let her raise you when I went to Florida. Yeah. So, thanks, Pops.
Yeah.
Great. You couldn't hang. You as an adult male who probably, who could have, you know, physically handled her if she'd ever tried to come at you, cut out, but you left me at age one or two or three or five with the crazy psycho bitch. Okay, thanks, Pops. So what happens is psycho bitch raises the kid. Yeah. And of course the kid's got two parents, and one of them he knows he hates because she raised him, and she's a psycho bitch. But the other one becomes like
mystical,
like the Lone Ranger.
The illusion.
Yeah. Yeah.
The mirage.
Idealized.
The
idealized, yeah. Right. Right. It's dad, and they're grasping for straws. I mean, they're right. Looking for something in their life. So where is this great guy, and what happened? Probably, you know, in Vietnam, he probably jumped on a grenade saving his platoon and got some brain damage and then had trouble coping with society.
No, he had amnesia.
He had amnesia. Right. No, the guy's a drunken, violent idiot. He pulled a gun on your mom and got out of there. Plus,
it's like a blessing that he's
yes.
gone.
Yes. Oh, here's the question. What efforts has he made to get hold of you in the last 20 years? That's a good question to ask.
For to pay.
The best that's going to happen is you're going to find him and he's going to be an acquaintance. He's not going to turn up 20 years later and be the father figure you never had.
So. No, and listen, you think this guy's going to pull in a vintage Austin Healey from the 50s smoking a pipe with a scarf blowing in the wind.
Hey, son, let's go to a baseball game.
Wearing a hunting jacket with a beautiful young trophy wife as he revs the engine. And there's
and one for you in the back.
Packed picnic basket and her younger sister in the boot of the car. You guys are going to the country to go skeet shooting and build a log home.
And the dog's coming with us.
No, this guy lives in a one-bedroom
Van
Nuys.
Right, he's a trailer. He's living in a van down by the river.
That's right. I say F him, and don't get him built up. You will only be more disappointed.
Well, actually, if he wants to build him up, I don't have a problem with that.
Build
so
him
much
up, just don't find him.
Don't find him.
Yeah.
If you do want to find him,
go
let that fantasy be if that helps you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Go comb the jail cells and the trailer parks.
Right. And if you want to,
might be around somewhere.
If you want to get hold of your brothers, that's another situation. And I would even caution you about that. Yeah. But if you want to talk to them, fine. But you still don't have to involve him.
And same thing. If you find them, they're not going to be brothers. They're just going to be people that you met today.
Right.
So don't have an unreasonable expectation to that either.
Absolutely. All right. We'll be back.
Oh, thank God.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Jay McGraw is our guest tonight. He's the author of Closing the Gap, A Strategy for Bringing Parents and Teens Together. And the book is out everywhere, correct?
That's right.
Jay?
Amazon.com, all the bookstores, everywhere.
So how long has it been out?
It came out just before Thanksgiving.
How's it doing?
It's doing pretty well. I've been having to take finals, so I can't exactly tell a lot of people about it, but it's kind of a rip-off.
You know, why be an attorney, though? Why not just sit around and write books?
Good damn question. I ask myself that every day in class. I'm like, you know.
You know what, though? If you don't do that kind of training now, you ain't never going to do it.
No, I would never go back.
You know what I'm saying, Adam? You don't know what we're saying.
No, I know what you're saying. I had that theory when I was 17. So who are you talking about? I pioneered that thought. I said that in the fifth grade.
You said it, and then you had to stick by it, right?
I stood by my guns.
That's right.
I knew me and education
it's
were not a good mix.
It's a nightmare.
Well, what kind of law do you want to get into once you get into it?
I don't know. Corporate, I guess.
Oh.
Criminal.
And you know what? Everyone hates you when you're a lawyer, too. They all just can't stand you. God, do I hate lawyers.
Well, not everyone.
Oh, you hate lawyers.
Well, here's
that onto me.
Here's why. I think here's your relationship with lawyers. You're either going to be on the winning side or the losing side
with
them.
You're really happy or you're really pissed off.
Yeah, either they got you $4 million because you pulled a Brody in the bathroom at the Jamba Juice, or you're the guy who can't take a leak when he needs to at the Jamba Juice.
Adam.
And I have, that's me. And also, my relationship with lawyers is, I don't, you know, I've never used a lawyer, but my relationship is this. I only deal with the lawyers that have to deal with Comedy Central and our TV show and all that. And so they tell you, no, you can't do this.
Well, you need to get you a good lawyer that says, yes, he can.
But it's not the kind of thing where you can combat the network's lawyer with your personal attorney. They look out for the interests of the corporation or the network, and it behooves them to just say, no, you can't do this. But, you know, the greatest thing that lawyers do, and please don't ever be one of these lawyers, that sort of bizarre universe they live in. We're doing a TV show now that involves prank phone calls, and the show was called Prank Puppets originally, but the word prank, according to the lawyer for the Comedy Central people, was way too, it was in it, too vicious a word. Prank,
too
according
vicious.
To them, implied a maliciousness that would be used in court against us. And I said to them, you should hope that the other attorney brings up the word prank and tries to dwell on prank. Because prank is the least of our worries. Prank implies
playful.
Yeah, implies we're trying to pull one over on a guy, but we don't want to hurt him.
Yeah. Well, but see, they can say, what you intended to hurt him. The intention of a prank is to hurt somebody.
But they could say that with any word, though.
Oh, yeah, they could.
Yeah, but
joke
the intention of a prank is to pull one over on somebody.
Right.
But not, you know, you want to fool the liquor store owner by asking if he has Dr. Pepper in a can and then to let him out.
Right.
But you don't want to burn the place down.
Right.
Okay. But, you know, the one that the lawyers do, which is great, is when they ask around.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm,
so they
I'm
do,
have to get back to you then.
They do this
around.
One. You go, I'm yelling at this 50-year-old bitch saying, are you really telling me that prank is a dangerous word? And they go, well, you know, I asked Bert Wasserman, and Bert, when he heard prank, shrugged. He couldn't believe it. I'm thinking, what kind of bizarre alternate universe do you guys live in where Bert Wasserman hears the word prank and goes, prank.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Heaven forbid you use the word prank.
Yeah, yeah. And how is that used? Like, let's try to use that in a military setting. Would we prank someone when we bomb them or drop the daisy cutter? Would you prank your worst enemy when you try to get a mafia hit put on? Where's the word prank come in whenever there's an assassination or a serious attempt at bodily injury? Is the word prank ever brought up in that context?
I'm afraid not.
No, there are pranks gone wrong, but they always specify that they've gone wrong.
What's the word they want to replace it with?
Bert Wasserman said. Oh, Jesus. I'd like, I want to get hold of this old Bert Wasserman and beat the crap, pull a real prank on Bert. Pull his toupee off, yank on his bow tie.
But nobody go out and kick the crap out of Bert Wasserman because Adam wants him. It's like, I can just see the scene from Christmas Vacation where Eddie, whose heart's bigger than his brain, goes out and ties the boss up with the bow. And it's all going bad right now, Adam.
Oh, these attorneys in this bizarre alternate universe they live in.
Yeah.
Okay, so anyway.
Anyways,
that's going good.
Yep.
Just stick with the writing. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Angel?
Yeah.
You're 18?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Hey, Adam.
Ooh.
I do.
Ooh.
Hey, Angel.
I'm sorry, but I made up the question.
Yeah, well, Oh, Anderson.
So much for that.
Cut him off.
Come on, let's hear what you got to say.
No, but around 2 months ago, my cousin's boyfriend broke up with her. And ever since then, she's been depressed. She drinks. She smokes. She doesn't eat.
How old is she?
She's 23.
Nine.
Okay. And when she does eat, she makes herself throw up.
Okay, well, she's depressed. At least we can say that, right?
Yeah, and, like, I tried to talk to her, but she doesn't want to listen. And I was wondering maybe you guys can knock some sense into her.
Is she there?
I could call her on three-way at her house.
All right.
Oh, man. This, Adam, this right here is a sick, bizarro side universe, okay? Lawyers don't live in sick, bizarro side universes.
Bert Wasserman does.
Okay.
Hey, Angel?
Yeah?
How are you doing? Because, you know, I have this theory about girls named Angel. There's always trouble.
How about that voice?
And yeah, that no little joke. Voice.
Did your parents name you Angel?
No.
Were you molested?
Who named you Angel?
When did your dad rape you?
When were you molested?
When I was younger.
How old? Like six?
I don't remember.
Okay.
Give me an estimate what age you were.
Well,
how old does she sound?
Six.
Okay. It's about six. Five, six?
Yeah.
My sister kind of did something when I was like 8 or 9. And then my dad's friend when I was like around 10 or 11.
Okay, I started about 8.
Okay. And your dad's friend, huh?
Yeah.
What about old dad?
I don't talk to my dad.
Good.
Hmm.
And,
did you talk? Well, he was around then.
He's still around.
Oh, he is. Your mom and he are still married?
Yeah, they're in the next room.
Oh, you just boy. Don't talk to him.
Mm-mm.
Oof.
Okay. Did she say her dad's friend did something or her dad did
something?
Dad's
friend.
Oh, did your dad ever do anything?
Not that I can recall.
Yeah. Okay.
So, listen, Angel. I know your cousin has some problems right now, but I bet you got some problems too. I can tell by your voice.
Yeah, but I didn't call for me. I was wondering if you guys could talk.
Well, that's the beauty of this show.
we don't go after what you want us to talk about.
That's right. We'll decide who screwed up and who we talk to. And so far, you've trumped your cousin by the molestation.
Yeah.
So what are you doing
Sorry
about
that? Sorry, your boyfriend broke up with her.
Are you able to, have you talked to anybody about this?
I was going to shrink.
You were?
Yeah.
But what happened?
I stopped molested. Going.
Well, how come?
Because I don't...
Come on, why?
Because my dad didn't want me to go.
Why?
Because he said it was all in my head.
Because he molested you when you were how old?
Huh?
Well, whatever it is, yes, it's in your head, and that's why you're going to see somebody that specializes in dealing with things that are in your head.
That's what I said, but I don't know. He's dumb.
Was he paying for it?
No, I was.
Well, then
you
go.
You need this.
But he was my only ride over there.
Well, then No.
At the time, I was going when I was like 15 or 16.
Well, start going again.
Hey, Angel.
Yeah?
How were you paying for it?
I started working since I was 16.
I see. And are you going to school now?
I'm gonna start college.
Gonna?
College. Is gonna
you're going
start.
To junior college?
Yeah.
Shocking. And you're still living at home?
Yeah.
How about moving out?
I want to, but...
About what?
Money.
Do you have a boyfriend?
No.
Good. And are you pregnant?
No.
Have you ever been?
No.
Good. Why don't you have a boyfriend?
Because guys are too many problems right now.
That's right. Because, Angel, you know, for someone who's been through what you've been through and have the horrible parents that you have, you're a pretty good thinker. And I think you need to, you know, I know you're going to junior college right now, mm-hmm. but that's just a horrible waste of time for everyone who's there. Except for the faculty that's just wasting away, making a paycheck off of Uncle Sam. Here's what I think you should do. I would start working full time, get myself a buddy and a friend
move out.
Who wants a roommate, and move out and start life away and start looking back into this therapy and
Absolutely.
These issues.
Especially if it was your parent who sort of aborted your care and not you, something you wanted to do or still wanted
to
do.
Yeah, because you're a smart person and you've had a horrible thing happen to you, and I think you need to work on that. All right?
Yeah.
And don't worry so much about your cousin. You got bigger fish to fry, namely yourself.
Well, I would work full time, but right now I can't because I'm like in and out of a hospital.
Psychiatric hospital?
Excuse me?
What kind of hospital?
Beverly Hospital.
Psychiatric hospital?
No. I have a problem with my heart.
What's wrong with your heart?
Yeah.
What's the problem?
Well, the doctor said it beats too fast and something's not connected, right? It's loose and that I might have a murmur.
All right, this thing you have doesn't have a name?
He said it, but I just can't remember.
Wolf Parkinson-White syndrome?
I have no idea. I'm taking Tropolix out for it.
Yeah. Probably Wolf Parkinson White, something like that.
What is that?
It's just an electrical disturbance in the heart. It's not a... I mean,
does it mean you can't move out?
No, it doesn't.
Does it keep her from working full time?
No, it doesn't.
Okay, so go get you a full time job,
Angel.
Yeah.
Get out of that house. Get some work. Work more hours and get on your own. And then when you get all established, you can get back and go to junior college again.
And hey, Angel.
Yeah.
That cousin that we were gonna call. Not a good candidate for a roommate.
No. Well, by all means.
No, nobody in your family.
Yeah.
Okay?
And nobody you want to fix or make better or feel sorry for.
Somebody that you think is, like, oddly normal.
Yeah.
Boring.
Boring.
Boringly normal.
Exactly. Like, oh, my God, they're so normal.
So boring. Ugh.
Then pick that one and move in with them immediately.
Well, I'll tell you that. And for those of you who are at home thinking, well, there must be something on the screen about molestation. Oh, no.
Nope.
Not at all. You just hear that voice, and that means molestation. Easy. You hear that little girl voice? Sexual abuse. Done and done. Every time. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Jeremiah?
Yeah.
You're 17?
Yeah.
What's up?
I was wondering, because, like, my girlfriend moved away, because, like, she lived here with her dad, and then she moved away to Texas.
Oh, right, Texas.
How long ago?
Texas sucks.
Whatever.
Oh, sorry, that came out. Like about 6 months ago.
To the tune of 6 months ago?
Yeah.
Good use.
Nicely done.
Well, it takes all kinds, Jeremiah.
Is she asking you to move down to Texas?
No, well, it was my idea.
Yeah, no
but
kidding.
She's, like, supportive of it.
Yeah.
Right.
And I have a job and everything. I have money saved up. But I'm only a junior, and next year I'm going to be a senior, but I want to start my senior year with her.
Senior year in, of what? College?
High school.
High school.
Yeah. Oh, so you want to go to Texas and take your senior year there?
Yeah.
You're gonna wait. You're gonna pack up and move to Texas with your girlfriend to finish your senior year of high school?
Well, I'm going to. That's why I'm calling Michelle. You know.
Yeah. No, right. No. We'd say no.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with no.
No. Bad. Survey says
no.
Hell no.
No. Three no's.
Yeah, he's calling from Oregon, by the
so
way.
So I'm thinking no then.
Yeah. No, seriously. Come on.
You're going to smother her and it's too weird. And
yeah, dude, don't do that.
Hold on. Is she blowing him off? Yeah.
Possibly.
Jeremiah, she may be blowing you off.
What do you mean blowing me? What do you mean?
She moved away.
No, it's just like, because like, this is the first girl that I've actually like.
Yeah, we know about you.
Okay, oh,
yeah.
You love her?
Yeah.
That's different.
A lot.
Well, I didn't know you're obsessed with her.
Oh, whoa, wait, stop. So. Cool. So you mean you would be willing to move to Texas?
This is your
right?
This is your next book, Jay. It's right. But I love her.
Then after my senior year, we're both going to move and go to OSU.
Well, then just wait a year and go to OSU together. And well, don't go to OSU.
It's
come
really
on.
Hard, like, you know, the long distance thing.
Yeah, it's
like,
hard.
The toughest thing ever.
Why did she move away?
What? Because she didn't like living with her dad.
Oh, hold on a second.
Dude.
Let's have a small discussion amongst ourselves. I thought he was going to say her dad got a gig in Austin and they packed up and
moved. Made him go.
And then it was going to be a situation of, well, what are you going to say? What are you going to do? But
she's
moving
like, I'm
on
getting out of here.
Her own. And
yeah, well, there's two possibilities. One, she is total chaos. And just kind of blows where the wind takes her and, you know, is completely out of control all the time. Or she's moving on.
Or she's like, oh, my God, I got to get away from this guy and he can't take a subtle hint. Maybe I'll move seven states away.
Well, listen, when you were 17, if you were deeply obsessed and in love with someone and you had a pain in the ass dad, you would suck it up and stay there for that person you couldn't be with.
Or what our college do, they get pregnant and want to move in with them.
Jeremiah?
Yeah.
Has she moved yet, or is she going to move?
6 months, she's gone.
No, she's been gone.
6 months.
Right.
And that's why it's so hard. Because, like, the long distance thing is killing me. And
Have you told her you're coming up there?
Well, we've talked about it a lot, you know, about, like, the plans and stuff. And I really want to, you know. And I think in probably, like, because right now she did live in, like, New Mexico.
Right.
And then, like, it was a really bad town. So her mom and her little brother packed up, you know, and left.
They're nomads.
Because she had family in Texas, you know?
Right.
And right now she's living with family, with her aunt or whatever.
Right.
And they're going to move out in a couple of months and find a house.
Hey, what does this have to... what did she say about you moving out there?
And then I'm thinking that, like, probably I should stay with her mom, like, the first couple of months before I get on my feet.
What did she say about you moving out there?
What did she say? That, you know, I don't have... You know, that it's a big responsibility, you know, leave my family and stuff, but...
Yeah.
What did she say?
That she wanted me to.
She said that after you said, don't you want me to move out there?
No, I didn't say that. I just said that that's something that I'm considering, you know, and she said, you know, that's your choice, but if you want to, then, you know, that make us both.
Okay, hey, Jeremiah, call her up and go, you know what, I've changed my mind, I'm not moving to Texas, $10. She says, well, I understand.
Yeah.
Take the hint, man. Jeez.
When anyone says, that's your choice. That is anything but love, everybody. Please hear that.
Yeah, she's like, I'm moving to Texas, and it's your choice if you come. That's leave me alone. God.
Plus, I left the city that I lived in with you to move to some asshole in New Mexico.
Yeah, dude.
And I've never been to New Mexico, but it has the word Mexico in it. That's enough. That's enough for me to know I'm not going over there. So I moved to some adobe Sears gardening shed
in the desert
in New Mexico because I had to get out. It wasn't like, see, I pictured her heading to the Dallas ranch,
right,
over there to stay in JR's bedroom
or
something. 40,
yeah.
No, she moved to a dump to get out of there. She moved
to hell on earth.
She's getting out.
She's living with aunts and friends along the way.
All right, Jeremiah's got, and that's your choice.
Jeremiah, give her the boot. Please, please don't budge.
And don't move.
Did you guys, here's always the one, here's the tip off too. Did you notice I said, did she ask you to move out there with her?
Well,
her aunt in New Mexico? Okay. All right. I'm guessing that's not a yes. All right, we'll take a little break. Please listen to reality, Jeremiah, and we'll be back after this. Hey, everybody. Loveline. Jay McGraw is our guest tonight. Closing the Gap's the name of the book, a strategy for bringing parents and teens together. And let's see if we can knock off. Let's go for three calls.
Go.
Ready?
Let's
go. Jason.
Yeah.
You don't want to play baseball anymore.
No, I don't. And my mom is like, she's mainly getting on to me for not liking it anymore.
Here's the deal, Jason.
Yeah.
If somebody doesn't understand something, they can't care about it. They can't rationalize. They can't sympathize. So you got to sit down. You got to spend some time with your mom. You got to talk to her about it. You got to find out why she wants you to play baseball. You got to tell her why you don't want to play baseball. You got to find a way that both of your needs are going to get met. If she's got some reason for you to play baseball, I doubt it's because she likes sitting in the stands.
Yeah.
Okay, find out what it is and then find some other way to meet the need that your mom has.
Oof. And ultimately, you don't have to do it.
No, but you don't have to play.
You may want to strike a little compromise with her and tell her you're thinking about raising fighting cocks or something. Or some
and
other
then
activity.
Work down from that.
But also remember, your job is to be the kid, not to take care of the parent.
Right. But if you got to, I mean, if your only option is to be more mature than your mother, then that's what you got to do. I mean, she's probably wanting him to play baseball because it occupies him from the time that he gets out of school, the time that she gets off work. Or, I mean, there's some reason that she's wanting him to do it. And if he goes and talks to her, he can find out, and then he can say, okay, well, instead, I'm going to, you know, whatever.
Okay.
All right. Do something.
All right, let's talk to Kevin, who's 13. Kevin?
Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Whenever you come, the tip of your penis burns.
Yep.
All right. Could he possibly have an STD, Drew?
I guess, boy. Are you sexually active?
Yeah.
How long have you been having this for?
About 3 weeks now. Either when I'm having sex with my girlfriend.
You might have a urethral infection, and those are sexually transmitted diseases. There's various organisms that can cause this. It's easy to treat, but you might be passing it back and forth. So You need to go see someone about that.
All right.
So they both need to go see someone about that.
If he gets treated, she should be treated also.
All right. Lloyd says, Adam, you only make $14 an hour. You ain't a millionaire.
Where'd the 14 come from?
I don't know. Yeah. Lloyd?
Hello?
Where did the $14 an hour come from?
No, no. It was just a figure of guessing.
What's your call about?
Brilliant.
Okay. Okay, me and my girl, like, okay, I met her
girl
a year ago. And she goes, okay, what would you do if we stayed together for a while? And I say, what would you do? And she goes, I don't know, I'd probably stay with you and marry you. And me and my mom are getting into all these big discussions about it, and she's all like, no, you're not marrying that son of a, you know, it's all this and that, and she keeps cussing at me, whatever. But she thinks that that I won't be able to marry her. And
Hold on. You're calling from Pasadena?
Yeah.
Pasadena, Arkansas, or Pasadena, Southern California?
Southern California.
Were you a transplant from some Ozark community?
Huh?
Where are you from?
Pasadena, Altadena.
No,
where are you originally from?
Oh, me, I'm originally from L.A.
Your mom? Where's your mom from?
She's from L.A. too.
Where's the hick in the family? Where's the redneck?
Hold on.
Oh, where's the accent?
I'm gonna float a theory. When you get really, really dumb, you just start sounding like you're from somewhere in the deep south. Hey, Lloyd, where's that southern accent coming from?
She's from New York.
Oh, okay.
Well, okay.
Now
there's where the southern accent's from.
Right.
Directly from the northeast.
Boy, you're 15. Don't even think about it.
Don't get her pregnant.
You're 15?
Do
not get
her pregnant. Oh, for God's sakes, do not get her pregnant.
Wait another 15 years.
Emergency contraceptive, you can get it without a prescription now. Call my office.
I'll
give it to everybody.
Yay! Okay, we'll be back. First show back with Dr. Drew in 2002.
Mm-hmm. This is the first time I've been here when Dr. Drew was here.
No.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, Drew wasn't here last time?
Last time you were doing Oprah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
No, you were here, though, once. Because remember you said your dad dropped you off in a limousine.
Yeah, but
that was the second time. No.
You were in Chicago.
Mm-mm, that was I made you come back after that one.
Wait a minute.
You've done this three times.
No, I think he's only done it twice.
I don't know. I don't know.
Well, have you ever seen Drew before?
Yeah.
He did Mars Venus.
But you've not seen him in this studio?
Well,
answer the question.
Obviously, I don't think so. Hell, he does.
Okay. Well, if you,
I don't know. Maybe you have.
It just really, it just makes my point.
Yeah, it's a real big, nobody cares.
Drew averages 2.5 days a week here, so it's no wonder.
That's what I was getting at.
I miss it myself sometimes. Okay, so, Jay McGraw, the book is called, Closing the Gap, Strategy to Bring Parents and Teens Together. Go out and get that. Thanks for coming in, Jay. Good to see
you
for the second or possibly third time.
Whatever.
And we'll look forward to the third or possibly fourth time. Come on,
see
the
you
show.
Soon.
So until next time, it's Adam Carolla for the Seldom Hear Dr. Drew saying, mahalo. Oh, just beat off into a rag and then sniff it.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.